chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, Gospel of Luke chapter 1, page 1456. 1456, we're going to be reading a portion of Luke chapter 1 in this hidden Christmas series that we've been going through here. Luke chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 26 and we'll read through verse 56. 26 through 56, Luke chapter 1. At verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your words to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, I have no scientific data, but it seems like the Virgin Mary, more times even than Jesus himself, the Virgin Mary, Jesus' mother, surely holds the record for being drawn, painted, sculpted, you name it. The representations of the Virgin Mary, from famous painters to postage stamps to even grilled cheese sandwiches. It's the Virgin Mary who seems to lead by far all other biblical characters in the number of depictions category, if indeed there is such a tabulation. And this fact alone makes me very curious what Mother Mary actually looked like. Doesn't it you? Some Bible characters you just want to know. I wonder what they looked like. Mary's one of those characters, I think. I wish there could have been an old Polaroid camera lying around and Joseph would have said, smile, and pressed the big red button. Or if even there might be a selfie saved on someone's Google Drive. But alas, that is not to be, as with so many questions and curiosities we have about Bible times, our thirst for answers will only be thoroughly quenched in the new creation after Jesus returns and makes all things new. Despite having no photo, we do get a whole lot of information from God's Word about Mary, don't we? Mary shows up almost 24 times in the Bible, and often when she does, there are not just a couple of words telling us about her, but entire paragraphs telling us her story. Luke, in particular, in his gospel, includes Mary more than any of the other writers do, and especially here in Luke chapter 1. Luke gives us a wonderful detailed look at how Mary responded to the annunciation, to the announcing of Jesus' birth by the angel to Mary herself. That whole sequence in which first Mary receives the news of the incarnation, then Mary visits her relative Elizabeth to share the news, and finally Mary bursts forth into singing over that news. You know what Luke, the gospel writer, is doing for us? He is holding up for us a model of faith. Mary's faith. Mary's response of faith. As if Luke is telling us this is what a responsive Christian faith looks like. Surely we can learn from it. We'll try to today. Mary responds in four ways. She responds thoughtfully, first of all. Imagine this happening, though. God sends the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary. Gabriel goes to her and speaks to her, greets her first. Greetings, you who are highly favored. I'll say, wow. The Lord is with you. How does Mary respond? Now, here we are in the 21st century. Something like this happens to you. You're walking down the street, and you know you've got your act together. You're educated, high school diploma, maybe college degree. And because you know better, you're fairly skeptical about this sort of thing. Come on. This can't be legit. You're always on the lookout for scammers. That email is just spam. You didn't win anything. That publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes that came in the mail that says you won, you didn't. That text you got, do not reply. They just want to know if there's a live, gullible person on the other end. And now with AI, they can make it sound like your grandchild is the voice of the one calling you asking for money. Hang up. Call your granddaughter and see if she just called you. Verify. We are so well-versed in our skepticism. Because we're smart, we're intelligent, we're experienced, we're used to being scammed. Now, back then, that was 2,000 years ago, of course Mary would fall for this. Back then, people weren't as smart, their IQs weren't as high, more superstitious, more ready to believe anything that any old wizard from the Emerald City who happens to look like Jeff Goldblum would tell them. Do you ever think like that? It's not true, because people back then weren't less intelligent than we are. Look at the similarity. Today we are skeptical about the supernatural, right? We're trained not to believe in it hook, line, and sinker. Sounds like Mary, doesn't it? She was a Jewish girl, taught from a young age that God would never become a human being. He's too other. That just doesn't happen, can't happen. That barrier to belief was just as strong for Mary as it is for us today. So look at Mary. She was greatly troubled at the angel's words. Huh? She was more thoughtful than you might give her credit for. She didn't just jump to faith immediately. Oh, it's an angel speaking to me. No, greatly troubled. and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Verse 29, right there. Do you know the word wonder there? Wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Literally in Greek, it means to make an audit. You accountants know about audits. You add things up. You weigh the numbers, you ponder the results. An audit of a company's numbers requires intense reasoning, intense figuring, intense thinking and proving. Mary is responding thoughtfully, questioning what she is seeing and hearing. Is this really an angel? Am I dreaming? What is really going on here? Huh? That sounds a lot like a 21st century student, doesn't it? Later, she says, how will this be? She's a model for faith. As Tim Keller puts it, responding in faith is a whole person experience that includes the intellect. That's what we see in Mary. First century Mary, can you believe it? She doubted. She questioned. She used her reasoning skills. She asked questions. Mary responds thoughtfully. She is on this road towards faith thoughtfully. Her thoughtfulness includes some doubts, doesn't it? Interestingly, earlier in the chapter, we didn't read there, but Zechariah receives a very similar visitation from an angel. Your wife is going to be pregnant with John the Baptist, but Elizabeth's too old, Zechariah thinks. Zechariah's filled with doubt, so much so that the angel reprimands him. You know the story, maybe. You're not going to be able to speak until that baby is born, Zechariah. Mary, no such divine reprimand. You ever wondered why? Well, Mary's thoughtfulness here included doubt that was open to hearing answers. She doubted but kept an open mind, didn't she? Zechariah doubted and closed his mind, defended against the possibility of there being some kind of answer that, well, he didn't really want to hear it. His doubt did that. He used his doubt to stay in control of his life, closing his mind to the wonderful possibility that God might be at work here. But Mary, her doubt, kept an open mind. She responded thoughtfully. It's okay to doubt, even in a response of faith, of growing faith. It's part of our thinking process. How can this be? Help me figure this out. Help me audit this, Lord. Second, Mary's movement on the road to faith was gradual. Her Christian faith responds gradually. Now, of course, there are those who are immediate in their response of faith, right? I believe. I trust you, Lord. The jailer in Philippi. Here's the gospel, the good news. He accepts God fully and immediately. But Christians can also come to Christ through long seasons of wrestling and struggling and agonizing like C.S. Lewis did, and they can also come to Christ with dramatic sudden conversions like that jailer and every way in between along that spectrum. Mary's response is, well, it's kind of in between those two extremes. It happened gradually. It wasn't immediate, but you know, it didn't take a virtual lifetime either. It was in between. And it happened in stages, if you will. And it helps us see that coming to faith in Christ, coming to acceptance of the good news, comes at different speeds to different people. And that's okay. Look at Mary. First stop on her coming to faith gradually journey. It was measured incredulity. What? Measured incredulity. How will this be? She says, how will this be? That's the polite form of saying, well, this is just crazy. This is impossible and incredible. And it sounds crazy. Now, a lot of you, I'm sure, are way past this, of course, this measured incredulity. But you know what? If this was never part of your journey, your faith, thinking, this is incredible. It's impossible. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. If this never crossed your mind, or even now crosses your mind, then have you ever really fully grasped it? I mean, the story, the good news is crazy good. And because it's crazy good, it's impossible, inconceivable, unfathomable, even if you grew up with it. Even if you don't believe there was ever a time when you didn't believe in Jesus. My whole life I grew up believing in him. That's me. That's probably a lot of you. But man, Mary reminds us the good news. God became a little baby so he could save us. It's unbelievable. It's so incredible. It's so crazy. The king of all creation became a baby born in a manger. Goes to the cross, dies for sin, rises from the dead. All of it. Completely ridiculous. I can't believe it. I'm incredulous. But I do believe it. I do. So there's Mary, astounded by it, but it's measured. I want to hear more. How will this be? She asks. And so she moves from measured incredulity to simple acceptance. Right? You heard it in the story. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. It's simple acceptance. She's still struggling here, but she has accepted it. This doesn't all make sense to me, but I will pursue this further. I will follow you, Lord God. I will submit. I will trust you despite my fears and reservations about it. And I'm sure she was fearful and had those reservations, but there she is, simple acceptance. And when you simply accept this good news, you have traction for going further. You know what traction is? Of course you do. You need traction, snow tires in winter or all-wheel drive, so that those wheels don't just spin out of control. Simple acceptance is that place Mary was, that place that gave her a foothold, traction for moving further forward. Maybe there's someone here who right now has moved from thinking this whole thing about Jesus is ridiculous, and today you find yourself saying, I find it ridiculous, but I still want in. There's no alternative that's better. And I'm scared, and I don't have any good reason to fully embrace it, but I want in. I'm here. What's next? You're at simple acceptance and wondering what more there is. And that's a good place to be. That's where the Virgin Mary was in this story for a little while. I'm your servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Simple acceptance. But I sure hope there's more to come. And of course there is, because Mary moves from simple acceptance to exercising faith from the heart. Now, when does she do that? When she visits her relative Elizabeth, right? It all comes together for her. Mary walks in the house, greets her cousin. Her cousin's baby leaps in her cousin's womb. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit and can't contain herself, loudly proclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should actually come to me? When you came in, when you greeted me, my baby leaped in my womb for joy. Oh, Mary, blessed are you that you believed," simple acceptance, "that the Lord would fulfill his promise to you." Who's the Emeril Lagasse? Emeril Lagasse, celebrity chef. What's his catchphrase when he's throwing some new ingredient in one of his pans? What does he shout? Bam! Thank you. Bam! This is a bam moment for Mary. Elizabeth, her knowledge, her insight, her perception of the Messiah growing in her cousin's womb, it all comes together for Mary. Simple acceptance, and now her heart explodes with faith. She bursts into song. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She's so overcome. Her heart is welled up with faith and joy. The Mighty One, God Himself, has done great things for her. just as he promised. Measured incredulity, simple acceptance, and the exercise of faith from the heart. Bam! It's beautiful. Think of it. Just think of it. A power outside of yourself, God, puts his finger on you, comes to you, deals with you, shows you things that are incredible, helps you see they're true, and then enables you to rejoice and give yourself to him. The one who made you at the beginning is making you all over again. Bam! Bam! Third, Mary's movement on the road to faith was to respond in wonder. Think of that song of Mary's once again. How does she say it? The mighty one has done great things for me. That is a sentence in her song filled with wonder. She has been caught up wholly. Her thinking is convinced. Her feelings are captivated. Her will is surrendered to God. But think about those words. She is amazed. God has done this for her. God has spent centuries preparing for this very day. God is going to save the world through a simple, poor, teenaged, unwed girl. She is filled with wonder at this. He's done this for me. But now think about it. That wonder in her response of faith, it transfers so easily to us, doesn't it? That amazement translates to us, doesn't it? To think that God would give his son, that the holy child of Bethlehem would descend to us and cast out our sin and enter in and be born in us today, to quote the words of O little town of Bethlehem. He did this for you and for me. Think of it. All our faults, all our failings, all our sins, all our shortcomings, and still God gifts his Savior to me, to you. This is astonishing to us, isn't it? Of all people, God, you have loved me. You have embraced me with your grace. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. And still, you did it. Friends, he did Christianity for me. I didn't do Christianity for him. He saved me. He saved you. And I am undone with wonder at this miracle he did for me. Who would have ever thought it? Yet he did it for me, for you. The sheer wonder of it all. We are his. We are his. He did it for you. And you. And you. And you. Fourth, Mary's movement on the road to faith was to willingly surrender. I am the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled. What a willing surrender it was to a life of obedience. And obedience under pressure, right? For Mary, think about it. Surely this was going to be no easy 9 months. Not just because of morning sickness and all that, but think of it. There would be ridicule. She would be shunned. She would be shamed. That was a really shame, honor culture. For she was an unwed girl, and she was pregnant. And it would soon be clear that either Joseph and Mary had jumped the gun, as it were, something they would be shunned for, or that Mary had had relations with another man, something she should be sentenced to death for. She and Joseph together would face this. She would give birth to an illegitimate child in their eyes. Such shame heading her way. that she'd have to endure. And not just that, she would face the death, she doesn't know it yet, she would face the death of this very son as a young man. A sword of grief will pierce her soul. And yet here she is, willingly surrendering to God, to what God would have her do. But friends, that's all of us, really. Willingly surrendering to God in our faith means taking our hands off our lives, letting God steer, letting God drive, letting God be in control. Something most all of us have a very hard time doing. I'm not going to give up the wheel. John Wesley wrote about it in one of his prayers. It's written as a covenant prayer poem, as if he's making a covenant in this prayer. He prays, "I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine, so be it. And this covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen." Friends, that is a prayer of total surrender, isn't it? Do you think you could pray that? On your thoughtful, gradual, wonder-filled, surrendering walk of faith, it sounds too tough, doesn't it? I can't surrender that way. Mary, though unwittingly, perhaps, points us to the very one who will help us in our faith to surrender when she says, "May your word to me be fulfilled," in verse 38. But let's go back to the way it is said in an older translation, King James Version. "Be it unto me according to thy word." Be it unto me according to thy word. Beloved, those words sound a whole lot like similar words from our Savior as he prayed and sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, "Not as I will, but as you will, Father." If you're ever thinking, surrendering to Jesus, well, it's just too much. My faith can't take it. I can't take it. Remember Mary's words, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And Jesus' words, "Not as I will, but as you will, Father." For every sacrifice Mary made for him, the shaming and everything that went with it, for every sacrifice Mary made for him, Jesus made infinitely more for her. Right? Think of how far the Son of God came down from heaven in majesty to earth in darkness. Think of how Jesus accepting his Father's will would cost him everything. Think of his plunge into unfathomable darkness on the cross, unlike any pain, any punishment, any suffering that anyone ever could know. But infinite redemption came out of his willful obedience and surrender. Just think of it. And he surrendered himself for you, out of love for you. And that truth, that reality, that Savior who did this, beloved, looking to Him is what enables us to say, Lord, if you did this for me, then I can trust you and do this for you. Friends, Mary surrendered in her faith willingly before even knowing what Jesus would do, the extent of it. But we do know. So surely, we can surrender willingly also. Amen. I'd like to pray that prayer of John Wesley once more for our closing prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And this covenant, which I have made on earth just now, let it be ratified in heaven. Let all God's people say, Amen.
The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter, I will not faint. He is my shepherd, I am not afraid. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength.